From Landmark Pest Management once again with a PhD in fireflies, if not every other bug that ever walked the planet. Rebecca Fife is with us. Good evening, Rebecca.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you know you are welcome. And I happen to know a fact from watching that thing on fireflies yesterday. You know, some people call them... I'm going to tell you, right. Some call them fireflies. Some call them lightning bugs. But they are neither. Is that correct?
That is correct. What are
they? Thank you. There are beetles.
You got it.
Yes. You should see the look on my producer's face. Yeah, they're beetles. How does that happen?
Exactly right.
Why?
And there's about 2,000 species around the world. And here in the United States, we have about 136 species. So pretty widespread. They're actually found in every state except Hawaii.
I'm sure there's a humorous reason for that, but I can't. Maybe they don't like pineapples. I don't know. But
you know, they're just weak flyers. I think they just haven't made it there. The habitat's ideal for them, but they haven't flown over.
Well, this is the firefly season, is it not? I mean, if we're going to see them, we're going to see them now. Correct?
It is. Yes. This is when they mate. This is when they're visible to us. So they spend about a year underground as larvae, and then they emerge as adults and take flight, and that's when the males do the flashing while they fly around. The females flash back on the ground, and if they like what the other's communicating, then they get together and mate, lay their eggs in the soil. Those eggs then overwinter underground to emerge this time next year. And if they don't get the right conditions next year, they can actually hang out in the ground for a whole extra year. So they live 1 year to 2 years, but all about a few weeks of that time is underground.
Is there some sort of sensor that they have that they know that the conditions as far as dusk or night are upon them, and now's the time to start flashing?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. About two-thirds of the species found in Illinois are the kind of fireflies that flash at night. So they're nocturnal. The rest of them, the ones that don't flash, flashing is not their, you know, signal for mating. They use pheromones instead. But all fireflies, whether they flash as adults or not, actually glow as larvae. So they all glow at some point in their development.
And when they flash, they do it in unison, correct?
Some species do it in unison. Those are found in Tennessee and other areas where the national parks actually sell tickets by lottery for people to come see them, and also in Asia.
You should see this thing. Yesterday I saw selling tickets for in the national parks. There were like lines and lines of people getting into that park area so that they could position themselves in the evening for really what it was, a tremendous light show. I don't know how else to describe it. Just thousands and thousands.
John, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you were a boy growing up in Michigan, could you see the Milky Way in the dark night sky?
I believe I could, yeah.
Yeah, you could see the stars in the sky. Well, today, 80% of Americans live someplace where they can't see the Milky Way, see the stars with their naked eye up in the night sky. And all of that light pollution is affecting lightning bugs terribly, because they need to be able to flash their signals at each other for mating. And even on just one night with a full moon, they will generally take off of trying to mate. They take that night off. So if our light pollution, you know, simulates a full moon every night, populations are dropping partly because of that light pollution.
As a kid, too, you could catch one of these fireflies in like a mason jar, and it probably wasn't the right thing to do, but you would see it glow inside the mason jar. I don't know if that's still something that's done, or if it was just something from a faint memory from my childhood, or what, but I'm guessing then that's probably not a good idea if people do that.
Well, in our area, it's actually a fine idea, because the species right here in Illinois are pretty abundant. But in other areas of the country, they can be very, very threatened. And actually, 11% of fireflies are at risk of extinction across the U.S. and Canada, with another 2% at risk of becoming threatened. But right here in Illinois, we have a lot of abundant species because it's such a moist place. A lot of people think that fireflies don't fly, you know, west of the Rockies, and that's not the case either. Although states are, you know, quite a bit drier, but even Utah, which is the driest state in the United States, two-thirds of their counties have fireflies that flash, that fly around. So they're just a little less common. It's not that they don't exist in the western United States.
Well, I think they're fascinating. I've always thought they're fascinating. And when you're a little kid and you see them for the first time, it's sort of hard to believe. It's incredible. It's what's going on with this light that just keeps moving quickly back and forth, and oh look, there's more over there, and then there's more over there. It's like this nature light show that's, if they're allowed to flash, pretty phenomenal. I at one point had a place, not exactly in the country, but it was rural. There was 10 acres, and across a big field was a huge row of trees. And I'll never forget this. One evening, I mean, I wasn't planning on seeing anything. I think I let one of the dogs out or something. And I happened to glance towards those trees, and it was like a wall of light. It was amazing, the amount of fireflies that were, as I guess you described it, flashing at that time. And I went back in the house, and I got my wife, and, hey, you got to come see this. This is amazing. I mean, I had seen fireflies when I was a kid, you know, a random firefly here or there. But I had never seen anything like this. This was so are they living in these locations and then waiting for evening to flash? Or do they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. That's exactly right. And that's a really important thing that you just came upon about firefly conservation, is the area where they come out of the ground from their larval phase, the area where they hang out during the day, and the area where they fly at night and reproduce are all the same. So when housing developments go up, and areas that were natural and were moist and had fallen logs,
right,
and had,
right,
you know, decomposing leaves,
yep,
get paved,
yep, yep,
over, we lose them. And certain species, like the southwest spring firefly that's only found in a certain area of Arizona, when that area gets developed, we could lose that species entirely.
In fact, that is exactly the environment that they were in. It was obviously trees. Some of them had fallen over the years, you know, due to weather or whatever. There was also sort of a marshy stream nearby. So this whole, the ground there was very, very moist. The trees were rather thick, and there were decomposing branches on the ground. And I guess, as listening to you, that's the perfect environment for fireflies.
It is. That's the perfect habitat. And you said something else that I thought was incredibly important. You were talking about this thing that you saw that was so beautiful that you went and got your wife. You had this,
yeah,
profoundly moving experience about nature that involved an insect. Usually,
yeah,
insects freak people out, and they're gross to people. But because fireflies are so beautiful, they're almost an ambassador species for insects and for insect conservation, which is incredibly important because there is a global decline, an insect apocalypse, where we're losing about 1 to 2% per year, or 10 to 20% of insects and insect species per decade. So the fact that you had this experience, this revelatory experience with an insect, and it was a firefly, a lot of people have had that experience with fireflies. It's a lot harder for me to convince people to save, you know, some nondescript wood boring beetle or some spider,
right,
but you've had these profound experiences with fireflies.
Well, thank you, Rebecca, for being with us as usual. No pun intended, you've shed a lot of light on the firefly situation. Thanks for being
with
us.
Thanks for having me.